Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Here we go. Another Sunday. Hello, New York. Wake up. I'll tell you what, it's really hard in December to get motivated early in the morning because it's so dark on the East Coast. Well, actually, it's pretty dark everywhere, but it's really dark here, especially when it's overcast.
You can go days and miss any ray of sunshine at all.
You know, depression is a big problem in the winter months because of the lack of sunlight. Evidently, ultraviolet rays have a lot to do with your mood. And, you know, I know everybody knows that. But if you ever get depressed and you're feeling bad, just go somewhere where there's a lot of light. And you'll be a lot better off.
I could totally nerd out on you right now. And
please do.
So I have.
Because I brag about what a big nerd you are.
So I'm a videographer by trade. And
oh my God,
I actually, every year around this time, I go out and get my light bulbs because they make seasonal affective disorder daylight compact fluorescence.
As I'm pointing to the ceiling in the studio where I want to have a light, and I haven't picked one up yet. Every week, what do I say?
Well, if we go into my video rig,
let's call a real videographer. That's a pretty big word for me. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We've got a great show lined up as soon as we take a break here at 10:15. We have Clark Judge on, NFL Insider, Talk of Fame Network host. And I, you know, I'm listening to that show every week now because I was on it about a week or two ago as a caller. And I love that show. They talk about, you know, what's going on with all the veterans, the former NFL players, how it looks for the upcoming Hall of Fame voting and all that. But they also mix in interviews with some really good people. Listen to Mr. Rooney, Dan Rooney, this week, who, you know, I think of Dan Rooney as being young. He's not that young anymore. He's probably in his mid-70s, almost 80. But I remember when he was the younger son of Art Rooney. And that family's got a hell of a history. I won't get into it now because it's a different kind of a history. But they are one of the true NFL giants. They're one of the four or five people that really do run the league. And if I could ever sit down with Mr. Rooney, I would basically have the commissioner's job the next time it came up because I'd work so cheap compared to this guy. And none of this crap we're hearing about. And Ray Rice has been reinstated by the league. What a surprise. The judge who ruled on it basically in her own way she didn't call him a liar, but basically the words she used, Matt, said, you know, there's not really a lot of truth and you overstepped your bounds and this doesn't make sense and this doesn't make sense. Well, that's who's been telling everybody that for how long now? If you listen to my show, if you're a regular listener to my show, you know I hate the commissioner. I think he's a buffoon. He's probably a nice
kid. Here's a dime. Call Commissioner Gordon.
Yeah. Exactly.
I just had to play that.
That was pretty good, actually, Batman. But the thing of it is that I've quit counting the number of negative things that have happened within the league in the past few years. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that they've let too much stuff go by unpoliced already. In the league, there's just, I mean, you know, you got to have somebody that doesn't work for the owners. You got to have somebody that works for the league. I mean, the league is a nonprofit organization. Funny, you know, so is Major League Baseball. But being a nonprofit, how do you draw a $44 million salary out of that? I mean, come on.
It's overhead.
It's almost, yeah, but that, see, that just looks to me like, look, here's $44 million. Just keep doing the job you're doing because we're making, you know, at least that, if not more. And, you know, we've raised the net worth of all of our teams. Well, the only teams that I can see that are going in the wrong direction from a net worth standpoint would be the Washington Redskins, definitely. I mean, if this guy gets in any – if he does anything else as stupid and as bad and mismanages – his own team the way he does. I mean, first of all, they trade 3 ones and a two for Robert Griffin III 2 years ago. Well, guess what? He's been replaced. You know, and really, the majority of that.
The third string, not even the second
he's,
string.
No, he's second string. He's actually the backup. Poor Kirk Cousins is you know, evidently he's the number three right now. They're going to end up moving Cousins. And if Griffin can be moved, they'll move him, and they'll keep one of those other guys, and then probably look for either try to build on him for the next year or two until that guy comes along that is a great – what they need is a really good quarterback class. There isn't one. Marcus Mariota is the guy. They're not going to get him. The Jets are going to get him. Jacksonville – somebody's going to get him. What I'd like to see happen is I'd like to see Jacksonville, if they end up in – getting the first pick, have them take him, right? And then, you know, trade Blake Bortles for a two, maybe. Because it's looking like Blake Bortles has got a pretty big learning curve in Jacksonville. I like the kid. He's a big kid. He's very physical. Probably doesn't have a whole lot of, you know, a whole lot of help in protection. I've watched them play. They're getting better. Their defense is decent. When we were talking to Ron Middleton before the season started with Jacksonville, the one thing we were talking about is Ronnie was saying, we just need players. We need better players. And this was by far a much better year in training camp and with the roster they started with than normal. The Jets don't have that excuse. You know, they've been going year to year to year to year. They had Mark Sanchez there. They couldn't evidently coach him. Somehow. But he goes to the quarterback whisperer, you know, Chip Kelly in Philadelphia. And now he's like, you know, he's everything that he's ever wanted to be. He actually ran a sprint draw, a play like a little triple option the other day and scored a touchdown on it. I mean, you know, if he doesn't get injured, he is going to take them to the playoffs this year because they're going to win. By the way, the Dallas Cowboys are done. I will never release the Cowboys again this year. If you hear me release, Matt, if you hear me release the Cowboys, just throw something at me. Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's no way that this team is going anywhere. It's impossible. Absolutely impossible. We're going to take a break here in a little while. How much time we got? We got a couple minutes. Let me go over some scores real quick. And by the way, let me just say this. The Rutgers football team scored more points than their basketball team yesterday. And, you know, Rutgers has had their share of nightmares over the past few years with athletic directors and coaches being, you know, cast away. But, you know, they played Maryland in football, and Ralph Friedgen, who's one of my favorite people in the world, who lost his job, by the way, at the University of Maryland after a 9-4 record or a 9-3 record, is the offensive coordinator at Rutgers. They scored, I want to say, 24 points in the second half to like 3 for Maryland and beat them. Came back from like over a 20-point deficit. Ralph Friedgen, congratulations. Congratulations to your Rutgers Scarlet Knights. I think that's what they're called. If they're not, too bad. Sounds like a good one.
If not, you should probably change it to the Scarlet Knights.
When we get back in a couple of from our break, we're gonna have Clark Judge hopefully on the phone, and you may want to be looking for him. For the first time, people, in generations, and I mean generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute with more of Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BH Sports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
I'm going to go over the Thursday games. If you if you're anything like me, you know, it's kind of neat because 12:30 start on Thanksgiving Day. Where did you guys eat, Matt? Where'd you have Thanksgiving?
I went over
Day?
To my cousin's house, and it was kind of awesome because it's family that I didn't know I had until about 2 years ago.
That's very cool.
And they moved right down the street from me.
Did they have enough? Did they have enough food?
Oh hell yeah!
Not knowing you that well, did they have enough food for you?
Oh yeah, we had plenty.
Well, we celebrated our house. My son, we got up.
Hold on,
he's on the phone. Mm-hmm. Clark Judge.
Hey Bruce, how are you?
Hey Clark, thanks for calling in. I appreciate it, buddy. We're just getting ready to talk about the games on Thanksgiving. Then I'm going to go through. I'm going to take you through the entire schedule, and you and I will comment on them over the next couple of segments. Clark, where'd you spend Thanksgiving? Where were you?
I was down in Georgia, an island off of the coast in the Golden Isles, an island called Little St. Simon's Island, Georgia. So I spent 4 days down there, had a great time with my family.
Right next to Sea Island. I almost bought some land in St. Simon's and Sea Island 25 years ago when it first started kind of going crazy down there. It's beautiful down there, isn't it?
Should have done it, Bruce.
I know.
It's a great area. And this is Little St. Simon's, which is off of St. Simon's, a privately owned island. And it's a beautiful place. Honestly, if I had one place to go and I had 1 day left on this planet, that's where I'd go.
Davis Love owns a lot of property down
he
there.
Does.
I've known Davis since I actually named my son Davis, because he was one of my favorite golfers. And when my son was 3 or 4, Davis signed his golf card for him. It was like the greatest card Davis ever had. As a matter of fact, he hung on to it and walked around with it so much, I think he tore it up. But Davis is the kind of guy, he'll give you the shirt off his back anyway.
Right.
Hey, listen, let's talk about Thanksgiving. You know, it's such an exciting day when you just get two NFL games in 1 day. But when you've got three NFL games in 1 day, like, you know, like it lines up on Sundays on a day like Thanksgiving, a lot of TVs are turned on. A lot of men are kind of paying attention a little bit to what's going on. And a lot of starting times for dinner get moved back pretty bad. We learned a lot, I think, this past week. Let's just go over those games. I mean, the first game that I mean, Dallas to me just played themselves out of it. What do you think about the Cowboys now? Do you think they're done? I do.
I think they're in trouble. I don't know if they're done. It depends on this game coming up on Thursday, Chicago. I mean, I think they could very well lose that game. Now, Chicago's in a complete backpedal right now. But Dallas just, you know, you look at, there's a game at home, a chance to measure up against the best in the division. And they not only didn't measure up, they got embarrassed and they got taken apart. And their defensive holes have been exposed again. I think Dallas is in a decline. And I think if they lose this week, honestly, I think they could very easily go 8-8.
Yeah, and I think that's definitely not going to be good enough. Not with the teams that we're looking at in the NFC. Didn't it look so much 5 games ago like they were going to just steamroll right into the playoffs? I made this statement, and you might have even been on the show that day. We're speaking to Clark Judge, Talk of Fame Network, NFL insider, just a good friend of mine. And Clark, you know, DeMarco Murray, first of all, they played Thursday with virtually no rest. You know, they
right.
had 2 or 3 days rest. Romo, with his bad back, really looked bad. He looked like he could have used another week before he stepped back on the field. But I was saying all along that DeMarco Murray, they looked like they were beating him up. And he looked beat up on Thursday. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with you, Bruce. And the thing is, you know, we questioned the start of the season whether he could carry that team simply because he's got a history of being hurt. Well, he hasn't been hurt this year. He's got a lot of carries, and he has carried that team. And I think you see what happens if and when he can't, that Romo can't do it. And they've asked Romo to do it a lot in the past, and the problem, obviously, is that he couldn't because the defense stunk, and he – just isn't very good down the stretch, and their defense isn't very good. I mean, if Murray's not getting a lot of carries and they're grinding out yards and moving the chains, they're in trouble because those holes on defense that we saw last year, they're still there. They just weren't on the field as long. I'm talking about the defense this year as they have been in the past. So you didn't notice it that much. But now when you're finding that, okay, you know, he can't extend the chains. They're getting him down. Romo's forced to make the completions and move the ball up and down the field. They can't do it. And now their defense is out there, and Philadelphia took them apart.
Yeah, and the Eagles' defense looks like it's getting a little bit better, even though they have got, I think, D'Amico Ryans is out for the year.
Yeah, he is.
But they seem to have rallied around everybody else, and they're doing a good job. The Lions, in the first game, you know, as I get older, I get a little scared of 7 points, 7.5 points against anybody. But I finally sucked it up and took the Lions, gave the points, and I took the over, which everybody thought I was crazy. They thought, well, there's no way the Bears are going to score at all and blah, blah, blah. And I said, look, if it's close at all, it's going to go over. I got lucky. The Lions look like they're for real, don't they?
Yeah, they do, but Bruce, they're not going to go deep in the playoffs. Listen, they're going to have to go on the road. They're not going to win that division. Green Bay is, so they're going to go on the road. And what do we know about them on the road? They're not very good against playoff teams. You go to Arizona, don't score a touchdown. Go to New England, don't score a touchdown. I wouldn't trust this team as far as I could throw a manhole cover. So if they get in the playoffs, to me, they're one and done.
They might end up playing Arizona. That's a bigger game than everybody thinks today in Atlanta. We'll talk about that later. The 49ers, here's another team I personally think is done. Yeah. I love Russell Wilson a lot more than I like Colin Kaepernick. I just looked at all the numbers and – you know, former trends and everything and facts. And I took the Niners and got hammered this week. I'm telling you, that was a big mistake. This Seattle is getting better and they're getting healthier, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. And I look at this defense and they are beginning to play with that swagger that they had last year. I mean, all this season we said, what's wrong with the defense? They're not the same. They've had people hurt. People begin to throw on that secondary and suddenly – last two games, what's happened? 3 points against Arizona, 3 points against San Francisco, one on the road, one at home. That's impressive. They are getting some momentum at just the right time. I agree with you about Russell Wilson. The reason I trust him, he doesn't make mistakes, Kaepernick does. And I said that honestly when they went to Kaepernick. You had more upside with that guy than you did Alex Smith, but you had more downside too. He'll make the big mistake, and he's doing that now. He seems to be regressing to me, and I think that's got to be a concern for them. Their offense is in it's in a complete descent. They can't move the ball. They've lost their identity. Gore seems to be, you know, nearer at the end. They really can't seem to find an identity, and Kaepernick's throwing the ball all over the place and getting sacked. The offensive line's not very good. He's not very good. And they're asked to rely on a defense that's missing Patrick Willis and missing Navarro Bowman. That's asking too much of them. You know, it's funny, Bruce, this team struggled to score in preseason. They're not scoring now. I agree with you. I think they're probably finished, and I didn't think that would be the case. I thought they were getting something going when they beat New Orleans down there. Apparently, I was wrong.
We're going to talk a little bit now about – we're talking to Clark Judge with Talk of Fame Network, NFL Insider. Clark, the Giants are – it's a little homecoming for Tom Coughlin. Going down to Jacksonville where hopefully it's a little warmer than it is where I am right now. I got to tell you, it's, you know, I'm coming up there this week. I think I let you know that. It's, you know, with my luck, it'll probably, I understand it's supposed to get a little warmer towards the end of the week, but in Jacksonville today, Coughlin will probably feel like he's at home. The Jags don't really have a home field advantage anyway. The Giants have to win this game just for nothing else except for just the way they feel about their team. What do you think?
Yeah, no question about it. You know, the season's over for the Giants, and they're just trying to play for respectability. They're trying to recover whatever they can from a lost season. This, to me, is an easy one for them. They should win this one, you know, by, to me, 10 points or more, because Jacksonville's not very good. Now, Jacksonville's defense isn't all that bad, but Blake Bortles, to me, is beginning to look like the second coming to Blaine Gabbert. He makes a ton of mistakes, and you begin to wonder, does anyone down there know what a quarterback looks like? That said, you know, the Giants – sometimes, I mean, that week, that game against Dallas last week, they should have won that ball game. And I don't know if there's an emotional letdown that, geez, you know, we had a chance to really prove a point, try to save our season, we didn't do it, And now, you know, what's left here? We're going to Jacksonville. Bad team. We're a bad team. But they're better than these guys. I think they could be much better. But depends on what they've got left in terms of heart. You know, they've done it in the past. Last year, Bruce, they lost the first six games, won seven of the last ten. That's with Manning throwing the ball over the lot. Manning's playing much better this year, but he makes the mistakes when you can't afford him to make them. You look at that pass near the goal line last week. I mean, that was a killer. They're going in for seven, at the very least three, and they don't get it, and Dallas turns around, comes back, and gets seven on him. He makes too many mistakes at the wrong time, and I don't know if that's going to stop. And we saw abundance of them last year. They're not as many now, but they're still mistakes in the wrong time. So I think they win this game. I think they win it easily. Jacksonville stinks, but so do the Giants.
I'm glad I talked to you before 1 o'clock, Clark. The Colts are 9.5-point favorites as we speak at home against the Redskins. Colt McCoy is starting for the Redskins, which isn't going to hurt them. It'll pick up their receivers' attitudes a little bit. The defense matches up pretty good, except for their defensive backfield. Their front seven, the Redskins' front seven, is not bad. I like the Redskins getting 9.5 here. How do you feel about this game?
I don't. I think the Redskins are in such chaos that I'll take Indianapolis at home. They win there almost all the time with Andrew Luck. I think the Redskins are a team that are torn apart internally. So much going on there that I think it's an easy one for Indianapolis. I'd like to hear, you know, why you think Washington can put it together, because I don't think Indianapolis is a great team. They're not. And they have trouble running the ball, and their defense isn't very good. That said, I think the Redskins are in such a backpedal right now that this should be an easy mark for Indy.
I just think that the Redskins will be able to put some points on the board. I think they'll be able to keep this game close. The fact that Indy doesn't have – they don't have a healthy running back right now. They got Heron. He did a decent job last week.
Right.
But I don't see those guys running against the Redskins. So I see the Redskins kind of turning loose what pass rush they have and at least getting a little bit in the way of Andrew Luck. He's got his favorite, his biggest, best tight end out, Allen. And, you know, he's got his, what, college roommate doing a pretty good job on the other side. Clark, you're going to stay on for a second segment. We'll finish up.
Yeah, sure.
That sounds great. We'll be back with Clark Judge in a minute. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'll be back with Clark Judge in a minute.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
I'm back with Clark Judge, and we're going over the NFL games right now. This is a big treat for me, Clark, because for the most part, I don't get a chance to have you for 2 seconds talking about every game, and I'm enjoying every bit of this. By the way, I just wanted to Clark is on I'm losing my mind.
Talk of Fame Network.
He's on talkoffamenetwork.com, and I listened to a great interview you did with Don Shula. It was on Friday, cuz it was yesterday I was listening to it. And you also had Mr. Rooney on. And I was telling everybody how I was, you know, it's hard for me to believe that Dan Rooney is as old as he is now, because I remember him when he was a fairly young man, probably younger than I am right now. That's when I look back and see him. His dad, though, Art, was an incredible character, and there's a lot of books that were written about Art Rooney back in the day that were great. But I highly recommend anybody listen to TalkOfFameNetwork.com. These guys got a great show. Clark, is it on Fridays?
Yeah, it is. It first comes out on Fridays, but it's on in different markets at different times. But you can get the podcast at any time at TalkOfFameNetwork.com. Just click on there and you can get it at any time. So, yeah, we had Dan Rooney and Dick LeBeau on one show, and this weekend we have Don Shula and Rex Ryan on.
Yeah, it was absolutely incredible. I just enjoy listening to you guys. And every one of you guys is like an expert at a little part of the NFL. You know, it's almost like you're kind of the you're almost the ringleader, and everybody else has a lot of stuff going on, but I enjoy it. Let's get back to this. And, yeah, you know, you got me thinking about the Colts-Redskins, but I'm going to stick with them anyway because every time I get on the Redskins and get off of them, they cover. The Texans are playing the Titans. I almost don't want to waste any time talking about this game, except
right.
It looks like that, you know, the Texans are going back to their Ivy League quarterback who somehow or another, he must be a great negotiator because he negotiated a hell of a deal in Buffalo right before they got rid of him. And, you know, they're playing a Titan team that seems to be reeling pretty badly.
You're right. But the Titans are doing the right thing. They're playing the rookie quarterback, find out what they've got in him. Texans, you're right, going back to Fitzpatrick, you go, oh, no, not again. You know, where there was a glimmer of hope here with somebody else, anybody else but Ryan Fitzpatrick. Now we're going back to Ryan Fitzpatrick. But, I mean, Houston should win this game. Tennessee's just not very good. But they're doing the right thing. I mean, they're trying to find something, this quarterback, and make a decision after the year as to is this the guy we want to peg ourselves to for the next 3 or 4 years?
Yeah, Mettenberger, he's got a great arm. And I want to say he threw for like 350 yards last week in a losing effort, I think. But he's tough.
Yeah, he is tough.
And kid.
Now, he makes mistakes too. But, I mean, you know, rookies are going to do that. But I saw some throws that I liked from him last week. I don't know whether he's the solution. You know, there's some people who've suggested that maybe they should go after Brian Hoyer because Ken Whisenhunt has a relationship with him. I don't think Brian Hoyer is the solution. I mean, Brian Hoyer in the right system is probably a pretty decent guy, and that's the right system for him in Cleveland, and he's from Ohio. So I think Mettenberger is better for them, but I don't know if he's the long-term answer. The one way you find out, you just keep playing him. The season's long gone. You just keep playing him, see what he can do.
No, absolutely. The Bills are playing the Browns. Now, under normal conditions, this wouldn't be a big deal. This year it is.
Yeah, it is.
The Bills have to win. The Browns are right there in the thick of things. I like the Bills here because I like what they did last week when they got virtually no practice. We're in a snowstorm with up to 7 or 10 feet of snow in Buffalo. Somehow or another, they managed to get on a plane. They go to Detroit, and they beat up on a team that looked like they just took the week off in the New York Jets. I like the Bills here against the Browns because I just think – I know what it's like to play in Ralph Wilson Stadium when the fans can get their beer frozen.
Yeah, you're right about that. But I like the Browns here, Bruce. I like the Browns because I think they're a better team. I think they play everybody tough. They got Josh Gordon back now. They're getting something going. It's a great story. Listen, I think they're the best story of the year. The Bills are the best story of the week. And coming back to Buffalo, they haven't played very well there. I mean, you're right about it. It should be a home field advantage for them, but they really haven't played very well since the second week of the season. So I look at Cleveland. I think Cleveland is got something special going on. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, but they're in the picture right now. I like Cleveland in this game.
No, I like the team itself, too. The Ravens, this is my play of the day. You don't need to play it, Matt. We'll do it later. But the Ravens are 5.5-point favorites, 6 in some places against the San Diego Chargers. These are two teams that seem to be going different directions. San Diego came back and won last week. I was surprised there. I think I got beat on that deal. But the Chargers also have not 100% their quarterback's banged up. I love Phillip Rivers. Always have. I've loved him since he was at NC State. I just love the way he throws the ball. I mean, he reminds me a little of Sonny Jurgensen. He kind of flings it, kind of whips the ball, and he gets rid of it quickly. But the Charger defense is okay, and their offense. Now they do have their running back, and he looked great last week, and he made all the difference in the world. But I like the Ravens here. With Justin Forsett running the football and them throwing the ball down the field.
I like him, too. I like him, too. And I'm glad you mentioned Phillip Rivers because since you plugged our show, I'll mention that we're going to have Phillip Rivers on this week, our show on closing the season, because he's one of the best closers in the business. He's 30-6 in the month of December. But this isn't December. It's November. And you look at this San Diego team. They were lucky to win 2 of the last 3 games. They stole one last week. You're right. The defense isn't playing very well. The offense now with a banged-up quarterback better have Ryan Matthews able to run. I think he's going to have trouble running against these guys, but more pressure on Rivers, and he is hurt. He's not the same, but I love him too. I think this guy's a terrific quarterback. He's a great guy himself, but they're going to need something special here. Turnovers, something to win this thing and pull the upset. I don't see them pulling the upset. And Baltimore at home, what are they under John Harbaugh in November? They're 12-1 under John Harbaugh in November at home. So I like them here, and I like them with the 5.5.
Yeah, their best games always end up later in the year. The Bengals are at the Bucks. Clark, you know, this is an ugly game. It looks like a trap to me. Everybody in the country's on the Bengals. You know, Lovie Smith's in Tampa. You know, I love Lovie Smith, and it's not his fault that this team is that bad. They absolutely need to do what several teams need to do. They need to get some players in there. They do have.
Yeah, no, they do.
They got the hottest. They got the hottest receiver in the country right now. That's for sure.
Yeah, I thought they got the players in the offseason, but I was wrong. And the reason is they don't have a quarterback. I mean, they thought they could make it with Josh McCown. They were wrong. Josh McCown was special in Chicago, and honestly, I thought Chicago should have made an effort to keep him. And now you see why. I mean, honestly, he was a better quarterback last year than Jay Cutler. Now he's not a long term solution. I mean, neither is Jay Cutler, but. They don't have one. Glennon, McCown, you know, you put the two together. When you have two quarterbacks, you have none. So I look at Tampa Bay as a team that's trying to play out the string here. Do they get something going for the upset? I don't know. I think Cincinnati's found its mojo again. I was off of them in midseason. I didn't think they'd make the playoffs. They found something again here, and they're fighting back. Giovanni Bernard's back in the lineup. Green's back in the lineup. They just seem to be getting better and seem to have found themselves. I think they win. I don't. What's the line on this, Bruce?
It's four, and it's probably
I'll take
up
Cincinnati.
As high.
I'll take Cincinnati.
Yeah, I think, and that's what everybody's thinking. I'm going to jump a couple of spots here so I can get in a couple of games I want to with you. The Packers and the Patriots. This could be a Super Bowl preview. Everybody's talked about this, including you guys on your show, I think. This game is the only reason I'm going to stay with Green Bay here is because – everything leans towards the home team in this series, in my opinion. Plus, they're playing on natural turf, and they play on artificial turf in Foxborough. I think the Packers will come ready to play. I think they are ready to play. And I'm looking at the quarterbacks. It's a nickel on one, 5 cents on the other. Two of the greatest quarterbacks. And speaking of the Hall of Fame, you think they both make it?
Well, Brady's the first ballot Hall of Famer. I mean, I don't know about Aaron Rodgers, the first ballot, but he's certainly on a Hall of Fame track. But Tom Brady is one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. I mean, all you got to do to present him is stand up and say, ladies and gentlemen, Tom Brady, and sit down, and that's it. And just you'll get a unanimous decision. He's in. He and Peyton Manning are first ballot Hall of Famers. But Aaron Rodgers at home has been bulletproof. You look at his last nine games, 29 touchdown passes, zero interceptions, 322 regular season passes without an interception. He's playing so well there. So is his team. Jordy Nelson is a different guy at home. You look at he's got five 50-yard catches this year. They're all at home. So people just don't seem to be able to cover him at home. I'm not sure what's going on there. The Patriots will be able to cover him. They will cover him. I like New England in this game for this reason. Brady versus Rodgers, I'm taking Brady because he knows how to win. He's done it longer. He finds ways. He's playing well. This team has got a defense now, and I think he's beginning to get to the support he didn't have in the past. It, to me, is, like you said, six of one, half dozen another. If Green Bay were to win, but I like New England there.
And you know what? I'm going opposite you. When I get up there, I'm going to probably be buying you lunch somewhere. The Broncos are at the Chiefs. Now, this is another game.
Right.
You know, Broncos are going to be in the playoffs. There's no question there. The Chiefs are, you know, they need this win badly. You know, they lost a great defensive back. Kid from the
I'll take the Chiefs in an upset. I'll take the Chiefs in an upset. I think Denver is beginning to show some vulnerability. I like Kansas City here because they're desperate, they're home, and they play these guys tough.
Yeah, you know what, Clark? I'm taking the Chiefs too. I looked at the Broncos all day, but you know, they've lost two out of their last four games, and they don't lose at home. They lose on the road. I'm going to take the Chiefs too. Clark, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show today. I really appreciate it. We hammered all that, and we didn't leave out anything real good, to be honest with you.
Always a pleasure, Bruce.
It is. Clark Judge, ladies and gentlemen, Talk of Fame Network. We'll be back in a minute with more from Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Welcome to you. If you just turn it on the show, or if you just jumped in your car and you're headed to church, or if you're headed to, if you're going to a soccer match, it's going to be chilly. Make sure you wear your long johns.
This is going to be one of the greatest matches of the year. Los Angeles versus Seattle tonight.
Oh, yeah, but that's these people are in New York and New Jersey.
And they're suffering the loss of the New York Red Bulls.
What happened?
The last time they're going to be the only team in New York.
Is that right?
Yep, they're out of the playoffs now.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and New England, one of the greatest stories in soccer of all time is Charlie Davies was in a horrible car crash, was out for a year, lost a spot on national team, is back with New England, and they're in the MLS Cup this year.
There you go. Congratulations,
Charlie. My favorite story of MLS. So
that is a good story. That is a good story. Listen, two cricket players died over the weekend. Evidently, one of the greatest cricket players in the world was hit behind the ear with a shot, and it killed him. And then the next day, I don't know, maybe cricket players die all the time. I doubt they do. But another guy, it was a referee, got hit behind the ear, and it killed him too.
Don't they play with wooden balls?
I don't know, yeah, but it sounds to me like, you know, it's not, maybe they need helmets.
They need helmets.
We're going to have Chuck at the turn of the hour at 11:05. We're going to have Chuck Todd of NBC News. Chuck is the host of Meet the Press. He Daily Rundown on MSNBC. He's been, you know, he's still on the Daily Rundown. They you know,
no, he's been replaced.
No, but he's on doing. He does a report every morning.
Yeah, the Daily Rundown now is hosted by JD Ballard, someone who I used to produce his show.
Well, congratulations, man.
It's painful to watch him.
But anyway, I went out and bought his book. It was released on. He wrote a book, Chuck did, called The Stranger, Barack Obama in the White House, and I had to buy the book because Chuck's, you know, becoming a friend of mine, coming on the show all the time, and B, I wanted to find out what Barack Obama was really like. And after eight chapters, Chuck writes this book, and you can be conservative, liberal, you can be in the middle, you can be, and it's just a great book. I'm learning so much about what I read in the paper all along about, you know, early people, you know, in his campaign that were picked to help him out, people that ended up being on his cabinet, how they get bills passed, what they needed to do, how they dealt with all kinds of situations. And I'm like a quarter of the way through the book. I can't wait to pick it up. My problem is, Matt, and maybe you have this problem too, is when I read a book, it puts me to sleep. I don't care what I'm reading.
I'm the exact opposite.
I have to drink coffee to read a book and stay awake. I don't know why. I think it's because I need glasses, and it just kind of I think it wears me out. No, but I mean, I think I really need glasses as opposed to reading glasses. If you wear reading,
I have bifocals. I'm a 35 year old man with bifocals.
Well, I'm 61 and I'm lost in space. Listen, I want to talk a little bit about NCAA football before we take the break. You know, yesterday I got hammered from a standpoint of my releases. I released Georgia Tech, so I was 1-0, but then I released Auburn for the late game, and it looked great early on. I released South Carolina. It looked great early on, both of those teams. By the way, the Auburn game, everybody probably watched that till midnight. 55-44 was the final, and Alabama, for the most part, is going to be the number one team in the country. And here's my question. If you're the number one team in the country, how can you let somebody that's like in fourth place in your conference score 44 points? Well, it's because you can score 55, I guess. It's just the way it's going to happen. Mississippi State got beat by Ole Miss, and that knocked them out of the top four. So Ohio State, it looks like, is probably going to sneak in there because they held on to beat Michigan, even though Michigan had an early lead. The Brady Hoke era is over. I'm sure he's going to be gone within, you know, as soon as, I think they have one more game. They play Michigan State next week, and then they're done as far as that goes. Georgia Tech game was unbelievable. If you like college football, that was a great game. The problem was is both coaches acted like they didn't want to win it. Mark Richt, for some reason, has been at the University of Georgia for a long, long time, but he's figured out more ways, in my opinion, to lose games than most people would even do in four lifetimes. He always has great teams, absolutely great teams, but he never seems to max out on his teams. And anybody that went to the University of Georgia that's a Bulldog fan will tell you the same thing. They've been cussing this guy out for years, and he's still there. Good-looking guy, though. Got to give it to him. I mean, I think he's married and got a ton of kids, ladies, but there's not a whole lot you can do about it. And by the way, Athens, Georgia is like right in between Augusta and Atlanta, and it's a great area down there for football, unbelievable area. The more people go, it's harder to get a ticket to see the University of Georgia play football by far than it is to see the Falcons play, especially this year. And we didn't talk about the Falcons, and I'm going to pick out certain games for Chuck. I'm going to ask him when he comes on at the turn which games he wants. But Alabama is going to be number one. They're 55, and they went 55-44. They're 11-1 now. Oregon wins a big game last night, you know, against arch rival Oregon State across in the mountains in Corvallis. In my opinion, Oregon is the number one team in the country. I think that they will beat Alabama when they play them. Florida State was down 9-0. The University of Florida Gators, arch rival Gators from the SEC, are up 9-0. They've got the ball on the 9-yard line, first and goal. The quarterback rolled. First of all, some coach must have called this play, which was stupid. But they roll out and he throws about a 8-yard pass. 90 miles an hour, hits this kid in the back with his shoulder pad. It goes up in the air. Guy picks it off, runs 94 yards for a touchdown. So instead of it being 16-0, Florida at Florida State, now it's 9-7. Guess what? That was the difference in the ball game. Florida State holds on. They win 24-19. They do not cover. That was another one of my covers. I had Florida big time. Mississippi State, like I said, they get beat. They're knocked out 31-17 out of the top four. TCU crushed Texas in Austin 48-10. They probably will be the number 14. I said Ohio State first. I didn't mean it. They'll be number five. Baylor barely held on to beat Texas Tech 48-46 in Arlington. They played it in the spaceship, I suppose. But anyway, Baylor should be number six. UCLA will move out of the top 10. They were ranked number 8. They go to 9-4. They lost 31-10 to Stanford Cardinal. Georgia, of course, lost 30-24. They're out of the top 10. Michigan State's going to move up to like number 7. Michigan State's got a good ball club. They beat Penn State in Happy Valley 34-10. University of Arizona holds on, beats Arizona State 42-35. That game went back and forth. They're 11-2 right now. Kansas State, this is where I dropped the ball yesterday. Kansas State was favored by just an incredible amount of points, somewhere around 30. I should have took the game. They went 51-13. I really liked Kansas State in this game because Kansas, if you remember, almost won last week. And almost beat a very good team. Arizona State loses. They're not going to move too far because they just barely lost to Arizona. Wisconsin's going to move up a couple of spots. They win. They beat number 18 Minnesota 34-24, which is about what everybody thought would happen. Auburn loses to number 1 Alabama in a close game. They may even move up a spot with the loss. Georgia Tech moves up. They win 30-24 over number 9 Georgia. They might even trade spots with Georgia, to be honest with you. Missouri beats Arkansas, a very hot Arkansas team, but they were at home, and they win, and they're in the finals of the SEC against, guess who? University of Alabama next week. Minnesota, they get beat by Wisconsin. We already talked about them. They're out of the top 20. Ole Miss moves up. They win because they beat Mississippi State. Oklahoma didn't play. Clemson beats South Carolina. They'll probably move up to number 19 or 20. Louisville barely beats Kentucky. They win 44-40 over Kentucky. Boise State played late. I'm sure they won. Marshall. This game, I watched this game. Marshall University, undefeated, really not playing anybody. They're in Conference USA. They allowed 8 touchdown passes in the highest scoring Conference US game, 2 overtime loss in the history of football, 67-66. We'll be back in a minute with more of Bruce Hall's Second Opinion and Chuck Todd of NBC.
Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We got a special guest on the line right now. Chuck Todd with NBC is the host of Meet the Press. And if you're watching Meet the Press now and listening to my show, you've got the best of two worlds. Chuck, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. Nice work. That's right, because if you're in the Washington area, well, I would hope, frankly, and I know offense, Bruce, but I'd hope, you know, you're still watching the show.
I'm taping the show. I'm taping yours.
You
listen, I've got mine archived every week. I never listen to my show because I know what my show sounded like. I was on it. You know? I got to tell you, I enjoy watching you, and I've already told you how much I think of you, and I think you do a great job. I'm looking at a book right now. I'm going to plug your book. You don't mind? Because the people up in New York,
that's what I want, man.
They'll buy your book in New York. I know they will. It's The Stranger, Barack Obama in the White House. Chuck Todd, moderator of Meet the Press and former NBC News chief White House correspondent. You know, it's getting cold, Chuck, but aren't you glad you don't have to be out in front of the White House anymore like the old
man,
days?
Man, I tell you, it's like little things. Like I don't have to worry about having a scarf and a coat every day, you know, one of the uniform, right, of the correspondent outside the White House during cold weather, making sure that scarf, because you need, you know, they always say they want a little bit of color in there, and it's like, man, I am so glad that part is done.
I can remember days that you were out there when there was precipitation, and I'm thinking, because, look, I live 12 miles from you when you're at the White House, because I'm in Northern Virginia in Reston, and I'm thinking, he's out in front of the White House. I sure hope he's got a tent around him or something.
We do. We have these. It's pretty ugly, and the keepers of the White House grounds hate what we in the media have done to the little area that we all do our live shots in. It does look like a ragged tent city rather than sort of a very, you know, something that should be a little neater given the historic place that we're actually doing our work at.
Well, listen, we're going to take care of some real business, which is handicapping the NFL, the hardest thing in the world to do.
Especially this late in the season. I mean, it gets to me that much harder, although I got three locks for you.
Okay, you know what?
I love the Eagles.
Okay.
I love the Seahawks. And I love the Lions.
Can I tell you what?
Did I miss? Sorry.
No, you're good. Hey, listen, somebody else said that too. I can't remember who it was, but it was some national handicapper. He came out. He goes, I got the first three games for you. And I'm sitting here getting ready for an actual three picks. No, he was talking about the others.
I did just fine. I actually did love Seattle and the Eagles there. And I couldn't believe it. If I can get the Seahawks in points, I went money line on that business, man.
You know, let me tell you, the Seahawks had to prove it to me, and they did. What I should have done is watched the game, but I didn't. I took history, you know, in numbers. And
I hear you. My issue was not Seattle. It's more San Francisco.
Oh, they're horrible.
They're horrible. I agree. They're
done.
The team that should be left out. I think they're done.
No,
they should be left out.
Chuck, they're done. I can tell you that because Colin Kaepernick looks like RG3. I mean, the two of them had almost identical numbers. They were like 12 for 30 for 100 yards, both of them. And I don't know which one threw the worst passes. I would say RG3 probably threw the worst passes.
It's going to be interesting. Alex Smith's going to be in the playoffs, and Kaepernick is not. I'm just saying.
It's going to happen more than once, too. And Kaepernick, the good news is he's got that big deal. The bad news is it's an NFL deal, and it's not all guaranteed. It's not like he signed a baseball contract. But you know what? I'm through the healthcare vote. I'm about page 130, and I got to tell you, the thing I love about your book is a guy with a sixth grade education like me can read it too. It's a great book. No, I'm just kidding. But listen, if my buddy Bruce Bochy ever wants to write a biography, I'll make sure that he calls me first because I think you should write his biography because I love your book so far, and I'm going to finish it in the next couple of weeks, and then I'll have you back on, and we'll talk about it.
Excellent. Sounds good.
All right, buddy.
The important stuff, though.
Let's knock this NFL stuff out. Now, the Colts, let's talk about the Redskins since it's in D.C. And the Redskins are, I don't know if you've seen all the signs, but Mr. Snyder, please sell the team as soon as possible. Mr. You know, yeah. He needs to
sell
the team.
So.
Well, he needs to sell the team, but the problem
is that's not going to happen.
No, I know. He's younger than I am. He just turned 50 this week.
Look, I actually, you know, it's funny about him, and I don't mean to interrupt you, but it's funny about Snyder. You know, for the first time, he is on the side of the fan, of a diehard Redskins fan, for the first time in his entire life owning the Redskins, and that is on protecting the name.
Right.
And I think he has reminded me of watching a politician deciding, oh, my God, I got to tend to my base. My base hates me. And I think that's why he is never going to proactively change the name. He'll get financially forced to, I think, by the NFL at some point. But he wants to – I think it's his attempt at trying to curry some favor with the loyal fan base of the Redskins.
I think you're correct. And I tell you another thing. I think it all starts right here with, are you willing to take 9.5 points and the Redskins against the Colts?
You know, I am. This is exactly when the Colts, and it has nothing to do with the Redskins, other than I do think that Colt McCoy is just, you know, there's going to be comfort. Obviously, RG3 lost the team. I think this benching, the team benched him. I think it was not Gruden that benched him. I think the team benched him. I think that's the untold story here, is that he lost the huddle. So I do think you'll see the players play better. But to me, this is about the Colts. How often are they in this position, kind of a big favorite, and they just sort of sleepwalk through and then end up not covering? Now, I lost on them last week thinking they'd do that again. And by the way, they were one backdoor touchdown away from not covering that 10.5.
I know.
And you know, they shouldn't have covered then. I like the Skins only because this is where the Colts don't cover.
You know what? We agree on that because this is a 4-star play for me today because I don't think the Colts are that good. They can't run the football. The Redskins, and you were right about the team, they're going to play hard for Colt McCoy. Not so hard for Robert Griffin, I don't think.
No, and Jay Gruden, that's the thing. The guy made Andy Dalton a Pro Bowler.
Yeah.
You know, he fired, you know, RG3 got one coach fired. I think, you know, this is it. And McCoy's a very coachable guy. He just is. I think he's going to play smart today.
Yeah, and I don't think that it's that important that they find a quarterback in a draft anytime soon. I think they need offensive linemen. I think they need defensive linebackers and safeties and cornerbacks. Colt McCoy would be fine with a decent.
Pretty much everything.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, all right.
The only thing they don't need are wide receivers. I do think that with the right quarterback, Garcon and Deshaun are the perfect combination if you had a better quarterback.
No, you're right. Let's go to this. We're going to go to Luke Russert's team, the Buffalo Bills. You know, they couldn't shovel them out. It was impossible. So they play in Detroit. They go there. They act like they got all the practice. The Jets act like they were at the movie theater all week. And they
crushed
the Jets.
It's so funny. And I blew that. Did you bet?
I had the Bills because I thought they'd come together on that, without a doubt. I can't take the Jets are done. They've given up on everything. They've given up on Rex. They've given up on Idzik. I mean, that's his big – it's a different kind of a circus, but it's the same deal there.
Yeah. I'll be honest with you, Browns-Bills for me, total pass game. I don't want anything to do with this.
Leave it alone.
I'm afraid of this game. 3.5 field – about right.
Oh, I know. That's what it is. Texans, Titans, you don't want that either. I mean, you'd be taking Ryan Fitzpatrick coming back.
I can't believe the number's that high. I just can't believe the number's that high. I know the Titans stink, but of all the cruddy teams, the Titans look like they're the best coached of the cruddy teams.
Well, they got a good coach.
I think they're going to be like – so I have to say – 7 is tempting for me. I think the Texans win by this is going to be a close game. It's tempting. I wish it were 8 or 9. Then I'd be all over the Titans.
Well, yeah, Zach Mettenberger's pretty good too. You know, he's going to be a good quarterback. Can you hold on for the last segment and we'll kill it. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. I've got Chuck Todd on the line, and we're going to pick the rest of the NFL games when we come back.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
I'm back with Chuck Todd of NBC's Meet the Press, and we're knocking out the NFL right now. Chuck, let's go to this one, because this is my play of the day. San Diego's at Baltimore. Baltimore is -6.5. You like this game?
I love this game, so I hope we're on the same side. I think the Ravens cover and cover big. I think the Chargers are – here's the thing. The calendar is not December yet. The Chargers don't make their next comeback until it's December, so I'm hoping November 30th voodoo also works on the Chargers.
You've been doing your homework. You know, Clark Judge said the same thing around 10:15 today. I am taking Baltimore, and I'm taking Baltimore because it's overcast, it's cold, and that's Ravens weather.
Flacco game, man. You can just see Flacco, couple of bombs. You can just see him doing it.
Yeah, and plus Phillip Rivers, he's hurt. I mean, you can just tell the way he throws football, he's not feeling good. You know,
it's got to be something like that, yeah.
All right, Jacksonville is hosting the New York Giants. A lot of people in New York and Westchester County wondering if you even think it's worth it. The money line in Vegas is right down the middle, 50-50. You know, this almost screams New York Giants to me. They're -3. All they got to really do is win and beat a team that can't beat anybody.
I tell you, though, it's fascinating to me. Let's just say the side I like to use is begging for people to bet on the Giants.
Yep.
Begging people to do it. So, I don't know. This has a feel of stay away. It just has a feel of stay away.
You're pretty smart, Chuck.
I don't know if I want to. I'm just not there. Jacksonville, I like Bortles. Not everybody does, but I'm not there. I'm passing.
No, I'm going to pass, too, and I'll tell you why. It's just, you know, our boy's going home to Jacksonville, you know, and that has a lot to do with it. Tommy Coughlin. Played in it. I guess he never won an NFC championship, but he played in two championship games there, and he had a great team.
No,
there.
He did. He made. I remember that 8-8 Jacksonville team that got to the championship when they upset Denver back in the day. That was a well coached team.
It was unbelievable. I'm going to pass on it too. Cincinnati's at Tampa. This one's screaming for you to jump on Cincinnati. -5.5.
I can get sick. And
if you take Tampa, I'm
a Bucs person on this. This is I like the 6 points at home for Tampa Bay. I'm not Andy Dalton. If we go back to the earlier conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
Is there anybody that misses having Jay Gruden around more than Andy Dalton?
Probably not, because it sure isn't Lovie Smith.
No, it is showing a lot, and I think today's going to be another bad day for Andy Dalton.
You know, the guys that go oppo the guys that do nothing but bet oppo will be all over Tampa Bay because the money line, are you ready for this? 4%. Four.
I like it. No, I know. I see it too. It's tempting.
Well, the boys will be at 4%. The boys will be at 18 on the spread too. So, you know what? I'm going to pass, but I hope you win with Tampa Bay. I think you might. I think it might be an upset. Really do.
Yeah.
All right, Oakland's at St. Louis. Boy, these are two teams that are very underrated. With the 1-10 and 4-7, they're better than that. Both teams.
I was just going to say they both play well every week. Six just feels like, is St. Louis good enough? Are they good enough to be six? Probably not. Yeah, I don't buy it either. I tell you though,
Oakland doesn't win.
The only thing that tempts me here is the Oak.
Well,
I know they're both big defensive teams. That's a low number, and it's indoors. Just a low number. 42 seems like a low number.
It is a low number. Anything close to a 30, anything's a low number. You know, last week St. Louis scored in the 30s.
Yeah, well, and they don't always do. I mean, I get why the number's low for both teams because when Oakland can play some decent defense, so. But I tell you, that's the only part of that I might think about.
All right. New Orleans is at Pittsburgh. This is going to be a good game because I love Pittsburgh at home when it's cold and it's rainy. Right. And that's what it's going to be doing today.
It is. And Breeze is terrible. I can't – this thing, I can get 3.5 right now, and I may not wait because my guess is this could move another half point or a full point as people start learning the weather, because this breeze outdoors, cold weather, is terrible.
Well, the rest of his team's not all that hot either.
Yeah.
You know, they're not catching anything. If it wasn't for Jimmy Graham, they wouldn't be scoring any points, in my opinion.
Not a single point. No, exactly.
Yeah, I'm going to take Pittsburgh -4. I love that number. I think that's the best value of the day, really.
It could be. It could be. I mean, New Orleans, that feels like that's a I bet you all the sharps are on Pittsburgh, because that 3.5, that's the public thinking that New Orleans is in first place and not looking at their record.
Chuck, if New Orleans loses this game, they can still win their division anyway.
I know. I do think the new rule, if they get there with a losing record, I do think
they are
going to get past.
Yeah, it's either going to be them. I don't think Atlanta gets there. You know, Carolina might sneak in there somehow. Their schedule actually looks a little bit easier than everybody else's.
Not when they lose today, though.
Yeah, you think Minnesota's going to beat them?
I do. Minnesota's gotten slightly better every week. Carolina still doesn't know who the heck Cam Newton can. They can't protect him, and he doesn't look healthy.
I love Mike Zimmer. I love Mike Zimmer. He's a great defensive guy.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. I like the Vikings here.
All right, I'm gonna give them to you. Arizona's at Atlanta. Now, this is a strange deal. Remember how I talked about 2 weeks ago how Arizona gets no respect whatsoever in Vegas?
Yeah, respect, right.
-2 in Atlanta against a team that's 4-7 and 2-3 at home, where the guy never lost for years, it seemed like.
No, and not only that, I would understand this spread if it were a 1 o'clock game. But it's a 4 o'clock game, I believe.
It is. Which is like a 1 o'clock game for Arizona.
Right. The 1 o'clock Arizona, when Arizona's playing on the East Coast in those 1 o'clock games, that line makes sense to me. I wonder if people aren't realizing that this is a 4 o'clock game.
You know, Larry Fitzgerald's out, probably. I mean, he's a game time
decision. Who does Atlanta stop?
Nobody.
Who does Atlanta stop? Nobody.
Nobody.
So it doesn't matter.
No.
It doesn't matter.
You know what?
I think this is a, you know. By the way, Mike Smith could be the first fired coach of an NFL playoff team, right?
Yep. Absolutely. And Mike Smith's one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet in your life, and that's sad. Hey, you know what? I'm with you, -2. Look, you know, it's reasonable. The spread's 72%. But Arizona, you know, I mean, you got to take them. -2, are you kidding me?
By the way, look at the total. That total is very tempting, 245.
Well, you got to go over, because it's, you know, right. This is one of the few times Arizona could score 38 points.
Correct. Stanton will hit. They'll hit Brown.
You want to take the over? I'm going to take it.
Yep.
All right. We'll both take Arizona and the over there. New England, Green Bay. How good is this game? Jeez. I mean, this is a Super Bowl. This could be the Super Bowl.
It could. I won't bet my heart. I won't bet it.
I know who you're talking
just because I can't do that to myself. I don't want to lose twice.
No.
But I don't trust. I don't trust McCarthy in a big game. I just don't. This game, as a Packer fan, we shouldn't lose it. I think the Packers have a better offense. They're less one dimensional than the Patriots are. The Patriots are Gronk or nothing. But I don't think the Packers aren't going to put Clay Matthews on Gronk, which is smart. I think if they did, then you're taking away the best defensive player, and that would feed into what Belichick would hope.
They're just going to run the ball if he does that anyway.
Exactly. So I think it's properly spread. I mean, 2.5. It's interesting here. If you look at Belichick when he's an underdog, I mean, and Brady.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, you can't bet against that trend, and yet
not even on the road, because as underdogs they're like 9-1 pretty much. They're like 90% or 88% or something.
You know, it's interesting is how low the money line is on the Patriots. Everybody knows that.
Well,
right? you can barely make a profit on the money line.
Exactly. And here's the other deal too. That's kind of why I like the Pack here, and I'll tell you why. If you ever watch Belichick's games, if this is indeed, well, first of all, New England's going to win their division. You agree, right?
Yep.
Okay. Do they need this game? No. What do they need in this game? They need to go out and play hard, and they need to, you know, they need to try to win. But, you know, if they don't win, it's not a big deal. Why? Because
Packers need it. Yeah, you're right. Packers need it.
I like the fact that the spread money is only 32% on Green Bay, and the money's 15.
And yeah, you're right.
And you know what? I'm taking Green Bay only because of that, and because they're 5-0 at home. That's it. That's the only reason I'm taking them. That's it. Now, I may very well lose that, and then my conspiracy theory concerning Belichick and all of his rich friends goes away. if you know what I mean.
Yes, I do.
Okay. All right. So you're off of them. Okay.
I'm off. I'm not touching.
I don't blame you. And you know what? I'll be crying to you next time I talk to you too. Probably.
And look, I don't trust McCarthy in a big game.
Yeah, so. I agree. The guy should be coaching the Pittsburgh Steelers anyway. He's from there.
I know. He does look like. And he looks like a Pittsburgh
He's
guy.
From Pittsburgh. Denver and is it Kansas City? This is a great game here. And you know what? Everybody in the world is on guess who? Peyton Manning.
And yet they haven't been playing well.
I like your boy. In Kansas City. I think they're going to do it. Minus one? How are you going to get something at Arrowhead that good anywhere?
I know. I tell you, if you do that, then you should parlay the under. Because Kansas City doesn't win a high-scoring game. They win a low-scoring game, I think. Wrong?
No, I agree, because they're going to have to run the ball 30 times to win. And guess what? Denver's going to have to run the ball to win, too, which should keep that number under 50.
Here's what scares me a little bit. Peyton Manning on Sunday night. The guy, when there's a night game, he performs.
Yeah, I think he stays up all night looking at film. That's why. Because I think he sleeps probably till 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You know what I'm going to do on this one? I'm going to take Kansas City only because of the trend. I'm just going to take them because everybody's on
Denver. Yeah, you're betting.
Need the game, though. They need the game a lot worse, and they're at home, and they're 4-1 at home. I'm going to take them. You don't want them, though, absolutely. You don't want that under, do you?
No, I don't. I don't. I just I, there's too many conflicts here. Peyton at night, yes, Kansas City at home. It's one of those you're like, it feels like a pass game.
All right. And the last but not least, Monday night. Your Miami Dolphins are
who's
playing.
Who's going to watch this game?
Nobody. Oh. Can I tell you what? I'm going Christmas shopping tomorrow night. I won't even tape it. No, that's a lie.
I mean,
that's
there
a
is
lie. I'll
nothing
tape it.
To watch here. I mean, you know, maybe if you have Lamar Miller on your fantasy team, that's going to be it. You know? Or there's no other reason to watch. I have to say, I think this is the game that we find out that the Jets have quit. So I think it'll be seven's not enough, and it's only because it's a road game. Are the Dolphins not giving more?
All right, I've got everything that you took down, and let me tell you, you'll probably have another good day. I want to say you're 14-8 or something like that on my show.
You were seven and four twice,
I think.
Seven and four twice. Profitable.
No, you're
That's
doing that. 7-4 is better than profitable. That's like godly like. When you're in
but
Vegas.
Can I just tell you, it's something, isn't it amazing? About November 15th, college and pro, I think that's when we all should walk away. It is so much harder to handicap these games once everybody is, you know, once the spreads are correct. As I think it takes 2 months for the spreads to get correct.
Well,
and I'm just treading too much water these last, and every time I say to myself, I'm treading water once it hits late November, early December.
Yeah.
I should walk away.
You know what? But it's so much fun, Chuck.
No, exactly. How else? Guess what? I'll have money on Dolphins Jets simply because I got to have a reason to watch.
Hey, listen, I can't thank you enough. Chuck Todd, the host of Meet the Press on NBC, author of The Stranger, Barack Obama in the White House. You got to get the book if you haven't got it. I got mine at Barnes & Noble. Right on the front rack, Chuck. They had you covered. I'll hopefully talk to you soon, buddy.
Thank you, my friend.
All right, Chuck Todd, everybody. We'll be back in a minute with Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation anytime by calling 240-317-7294. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Boy, it's nice having a guy like Chuck Todd is interested in the NFL. As you are, I'm gonna drink a little water here in a second. The problem with drinking coffee the way I like it in the morning is I get a lot of skim milk in my coffee because I like my coffee to be tan, as opposed to dark brown?
I like a little bit of milk or a little bit of coffee in my milk and sugar. That's how I drink it, and that's probably why I need to work out more.
That sound you just heard was my computer waking back up. It looked like a kind of a one of the signs. I felt like I was in Times Square a minute ago looking at the screen of my computer. It was just freaking out. You know, I hate computers, but you can't do anything without them. Got Kenny Weinman on the phone. Kenny, how are you, buddy?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. How was your family Thanksgiving? Did you guys celebrate together?
Yeah, we did. We got together, and it was very nice. Thank you.
That's great. You tell your dad I said, hey, I've known him for a long time. Ken, listen, I listen to you all the time. You're the only guy to listen to, in my opinion, as you get north of the Beltway in Washington, as you get closer to Baltimore. Tell everybody who you're with and about your show and stuff.
I do shows for 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore, and I also do stuff for Yahoo Sports Radio, which is based out of Houston. So you can catch me in either place.
You're the hardest working man in show business, as far as I'm concerned. And you're one of the few guys that'll be up early like I am and up late like I am.
And yeah, I don't sleep much.
But the nice thing about that is, at least on Twitter, you can talk to some pretty cool people very late at night that actually read what you're reading, and they kind of get back to you right away.
Absolutely.
I want to talk a little bit about the AFC North. I have a lot of beat writers on a regular basis, but not a lot of people that are that familiar with the Ravens, the Steelers, the Cleveland Browns, and that other team that's in it. Listen, let me ask you a question. I see the Ravens warming up right now. I see a really good running game. I see an offensive line that seems to be, getting their wind a little bit. And I see, even though you've got some injuries in the defensive backfield, you guys are still playing pretty well. Is this team got what it takes to get a little bit deep into the playoffs this year, you think?
Deep into the playoffs, I don't know, because I'm still not sure they're as good as New England or Denver or even Indianapolis, who they played earlier this year. But can they win this division? Yeah. The division's interesting to me because, let's face it, Cincinnati and Cleveland, I don't trust either team. But the Ravens have played better. They're coming off the bye week. They look pretty good. The question you have about the Ravens is they've beaten bad teams. And you know, when they play good teams, we haven't seen much from them yet. So today will be an interesting test because San Diego's a pretty good football team. And they're playing them at home and teams coming west-east. The last time San Diego came west-east, they got blown out by the Dolphins. So we'll see what the Ravens have today. But I think they look better. They miss Jimmy Smith a great deal, though. Jimmy Smith was playing at a Pro Bowl level, and he's out for the year. And the rest of their secondary basically is bad. Ladarius Webb will never be the guy he was a couple years ago. And then the rest of it is just basically patchwork. And I'm speaking mostly of the corners. The safeties, Will Hill looks pretty good. Matt Elam looks like a miss right now at safety. And it's a bit of a mess.
Was Matt Elam your number one pick a year ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, where did he go to school? Because I remember
Florida.
Seeing him. Yeah. Well, shoot. His guys came up a little short yesterday, too. They had an opportunity to knock off Florida State, and they kind of blew it with one play, which was pretty weird.
Well, that's been Florida State all year, hasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, Florida State, you can go to the Boston College game. You can go to a few of their games where a team could have had one play, and they beat Florida State, but Florida State figures out ways to win. I got to think, they're going to get to the playoffs. So I think Georgia Tech is playing good. That game could be interesting, the ACC title game. But I think when Florida State gets to the playoffs, which they probably will, they're going to get rolled by Alabama or Oregon.
Yeah, I agree. And Georgia Tech, that was actually one of the few releases I had yesterday that I hit. It was a tough day yesterday. It was a tough day yesterday. But that game, if you saw the Georgia Tech game, and Kenny, the thing I love about you is we've just jumped from the AFC North to college football. And see, that's fine with me because I'm Tangent Tom anyway. But I got to tell you, listen, and this all came because of Jason Elam, right? Talking about the Gators.
Matt Elam,
I'm sorry. That's the only time I can remember in two or three years I've ever rooted for Florida, ever, was yesterday. Because I wanted
them. Well, yeah, because I think everybody is rooting against Florida State. Jimbo Fisher's playing guys that seem to get in trouble, and we've seen around college football. You know, Todd Gurley got suspended. Other guys are getting suspended, and yet Jimbo has stubbornly played his guys, when, especially with Jameis Winston. Where there's smoke, there's fire, and there's issues with him, but he keeps playing him. And don't get me wrong, I think the entire college football system is an absolute hypocrisy. I think all these kids should get paid in some shape or form. I think the whole system is inequitable, and that all these guys are making billions of dollars. And I'm speaking about the presidents and television and everybody else. They talk about amateur athletics, and the coaches are making millions upon millions of dollars a year. And but it is what it is. But it's the system we have in place right now. And Jameis Winston missed one game against Clemson. He probably would have missed only a half until the academic side got involved.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what goes on with a lot of stuff with Jameis Winston. And I'm a conspiracy theorist anyway. I just always have been. And I'm not thoroughly convinced that everything's ever on the up and up down at Florida State anyway. I mean,
well, let's be honest. Where is anything on the up and up in major college sports these days?
It's not.
Would it surprise you to know that there's cheating going on everywhere in major college sports? Because I would.
No, and you know what? They make the NFL look clean. Speaking of the NFL, hey, let's get through the AFC North, and then I want to come back to the judge's ruling on Ray Rice. Do you miss Michael Oher on that offensive line?
Not for a second. You know the shame of it? I did a radio show with Michael Oher his rookie year, and he seemed like a good guy. And I'll tell you what, when Jarrett Gaither got hurt, his rookie year, and they put him at left tackle, he played really well. And this is only my opinion. I think celebrity really hurt Michael Oher. I think that he enjoyed it too much, and it made him less of a player. And he was never the player he was his rookie year, but they don't miss him for a second because Ricky Wagner's playing really well at right tackle.
They always seem to do a great job of coaching guys up in Baltimore. Is Harbaugh, scale of 1 to 10, what would you say Harbaugh, since he got there, his coaching staff is at, an 8 or a 9?
I'd put it about it. Yeah, and you know, some people don't want to give him any credit. He's a great delegator. But the fact is, he's been there. This is the seventh year. Unless they lose their last five games, he will never have had a losing season. He's been to the playoffs 5 or 6 years. He's been to 3 AFC title games, and he's won a Super Bowl. This is not a Barry Switzer situation where they won a Super Bowl in spite of him. But you've got to give the guy credit for 7 years of success. I'm sorry, he's got to get some credit. And there are people in this town that don't want to give him any credit for the success this franchise has had. And you have to remember with Billick, he won the Super Bowl. The next year he won a playoff game. They beat Miami in a wild card game and then lost the next game. He never won another playoff game. Ed Reed did not win a playoff game until John Harbaugh got here. It's just, there's a huge difference there. I think John Harbaugh deserves credit.
The guy's special. Listen, I met him once before a concert at Verizon Center downtown 4 or 5 years ago. And he, mm-hmm. I was, you know, he's not a very assuming guy. He's not really big. He doesn't look like anybody except he's good looking. And if you recognize him, you know it's him. But nobody knew it was him. And I walked up and just introduced myself. I shook his hand. You know, he talked to me for almost a half an hour. Yeah, and all we did was talk about everything but football. You know,
don't get me wrong. He's a hardball, but you know what? He's much more PR savvy than his brother. His brother doesn't care. Well, John cares.
Yeah, I tell you, Jimmy's out of his mind anyway. He's kind of crazy. He's probably cut out for college, more so than the pros, I would say.
Well, I've been predicting since September he'll be the next coach at Michigan.
Well, I hope you're right, because they sure as hell do need somebody besides Brady Hoke. Listen, I tell you what, let's talk real quick. Can you stay on it? Do you want to stay on another segment? Can you do it?
Sure.
All right, great. We're talking to Kenny Wyman from 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore, one of the greatest guys that I've ever talked to when it comes to Baltimore sports. Not just football, the Orioles too. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. More in a minute with Kenny Wyman and Bruce Hall. We'll be right back.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, #BHSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're on the line with Kenny Wyman of 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. And Kenny, I really appreciate you coming on the show, because in an hour, you guys got a ball game, right?
Yes, sir. Ravens-Chargers, a game that I think is going to tell us a lot about the Ravens. After them beating New Orleans on Monday night, I think the Ravens have a solid shot at winning four of their last five games. They got the Chargers at home, they got Jacksonville at home, they have Cleveland at home, and then they have the road game against the Dolphins and the road game against Houston, and they should be able to beat Houston with Ryan Fitzpatrick or Tom Savage, a quarterback. The Dolphins game should be tough. I think Miami's a good football team.
Yeah, no, they are, and I'll tell you another thing, too. The Ravens are pretty good on the road. I like the Ravens on the road sometimes more than I do at home. It just depends on the month and the opponent. But I like them today. I actually released them as a four-star play earlier today. Am I stupid, or is that right on?
I like them against the Chargers. The Chargers haven't been playing as well as they did at the start of the year. I also don't like that West Coast team coming east. And if I'm not mistaken, the Ravens have never lost to a West Coast team at home. So I think you're on target there.
God, I'm glad you said that, because I never saw that anywhere. Let me ask you this. The Packers-Patriots this afternoon at 4 o'clock. What do you think? I mean, is this Bill Belichick playing games with the game? I don't think he cares about this game, and I think Green Bay is going to be super tough at home. And I think Belichick's the kind of guy and has the ego thinking he may see him again in the Super Bowl. What do you think?
Well, there could be some of that, but remember, he wants home field, and you don't want to give up that. And he's got Denver breathing down his neck. He doesn't want to lose. Remember, last year he beat New England in the regular – I mean, he beat Denver in the regular season and still lost home field to them. So that is a factor. I think he's going to want to win that for that reason. But it is possible they could see that again. But remember something else. Except for last year, when both the one seeds got to the Super Bowl, we usually see a team that plays wild card weekend get to the Super Bowl in the NFL. So if there's no guarantees the one seeds get there. But this does look like a Super Bowl preview. At least right now, these look like by far the two best teams in the NFL playing. Seattle looks really good, though.
Yeah, they're the two best quarterbacks, and that's not to take anything away from Peyton Manning, but I'd rather have either of these two guys than Peyton right now, that's for sure.
Now in the playoffs, too.
Absolutely. Listen, there's another big game this afternoon, the Chiefs. Actually, it's tonight on NBC.
Yeah.
The Chiefs are only giving up a point right now. And you know what? They have beaten three really good teams this year, and they play great at home. I think that the Broncos looks like a value -1.5. I'm going to take the Chiefs. Am I stupid?
The Chiefs at home are a good team. They're the kind of team, and I like Andy Reid, and I think they're a good football team. I just don't think there's any chance of them going deep in the playoffs unless they somehow got home field advantage, because their quarterback can't throw the ball any further than 10 yards down the football field. And I don't know how you can win games. If they play a good football team and get behind, they're done. Just like that whole offense, they haven't thrown a touchdown to a wide receiver all year. Yeah. And the offense doesn't make any sense to me. I was joking to somebody watching that Oakland game, that 4th-and-13 play. They were done because he had to throw to get a flag because he can't throw the ball 15 yards. Because their offense is a joke. Now, Jamaal Charles is great. Yeah. He might be a generational kind of running back, but they need to figure out what they're doing throwing the football.
No, I agree, Ken. We're talking to Ken Wyman, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. Kenny, let's talk real quick. We got about 7 minutes left. Let's talk about Ray Rice. Look, we were all over all of that. It was ugly from the start. And I'm not talking about what he did to Janae in the elevator. I mean, you know, and who the hell knows? I mean, we all saw it. But the thing of it is how the NFL handled this from the start. I don't want to talk too badly about the Ravens. I'll let you do that if you want to, because, you know, you never know. I just think that the problem right here with this entire situation is Roger Goodell and the NFL. I don't think they have a clue as to how to operate this thing. And I think they go about everything they do wrong, including this.
I couldn't agree more. I think they were completely clueless to the issue of domestic violence and the pulse of public opinion on the way people feel about it. And I mean, here's the other thing. I'm still convinced they saw the tape, and nobody is going to change my opinion on that. And
thank
I think
you.
That they took, and I took my opinion on this from the start is they saw it. They looked at the whole case and they said, well, Ray's a good soldier. He's never been in trouble. He's a charitable guy. He's very apologetic. We've never been in trouble before. We're convinced this is not a habitual thing. We'll give him two games. And then they saw the public opinion and the outrage, and they've been backtracking from there. And when the second tape came out, it was their opportunity to try to fix it. And, you know, Roger Goodell admitted he made a mistake, and he's been trying to fix that mistake from the word go. But, you know, it's interesting, when he gave out his penalties for Bountygate, part of his explanation for the penalties was something like ignorance is not an excuse. And, you know, but here's him in this same instance. He's ignorant to all this, but yet it's all right for him to make mistakes. And, you know, I think the NFL needs to look closer. The owners need to look closely at taking some of the power away from Roger Goodell in these situations, because I think when they decided that they were going to be a moral authority, they really muddied the waters here and screwed all this up. The Adrian Peterson thing as well, I think it's awful what he did to his kid, but at the end of the day, he got a misdemeanor. He should be allowed to play. I don't think that the NFL has a place to start legislating. If you want to give him time served and ask him for game checks back, that's one thing, but he got a misdemeanor. And these situations are ridiculous, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's... Once again, we go back to the NFL on this. I mean, they just don't seem to have a clue, and I think Goodell's the problem. I think the owners are trying to, you know, stay as far away from this as they can, because if they get too involved in it, they're going to get dragged down with it, and that's the way they look. Listen, this guy works for them. He's making $44 million a year. I've made the statement that if he doesn't give $43 million to charity, then he needs to step down, because he doesn't do the job for $44 million. Are you kidding me? He'd have to be like...
Well, he gets that $44 million because he makes billions of dollars for his owners. That's why he gets $44 million.
No, I understand.
He's the face of a Fortune 500 company, and that's why he gets that money. But I think quietly they're going to take some of that power away from him this offseason.
What other CEO is as inept as Roger Goodell, though?
Well, I guess the devil's advocate response would be, we don't know what the CEO of Exxon does, and we don't know what the CEO of IBM does, and we don't, you know, they're not out in the public like Roger Goodell is, and looks as bad as he does.
You know, you're absolutely correct, and you don't think about that, too. I give the guy a really hard time. Let's do this. Let's talk real quick about Ray Rice. Where does he go? And does he deserve another chance? I say yes.
Well, here's the thing. If they would have handled this right from the start, if he gets six games from the jump, he's still with the Ravens, and he's playing right now.
Right.
And I don't know what – you know, it's funny the way things work. When they signed Justin Forsett in the offseason, I sort of giggled. I said, okay, he knows Kubiak's system. He's never really been successful in the NFL. They'll help install the offense. He'll be there as a seat filler for a couple of weeks, and when Rice comes back, they'll cut him. And now he's the MVP of the team. So does he deserve a shot? Absolutely. He's paid his as far as the state of New Jersey is concerned, he's done what they've asked him to do. He should play again. I don't think he's going to get signed this year. He's not in football shape. And there's, a few games left? Maybe the Colts sign him. Maybe the Saints sign him. But he'll be in an NFL camp next year.
Yeah, I totally agree. Listen, we only got a couple of minutes left. I want to congratulate you and Buck, because I know you're a big Buck guy. I mean, Buck did a great job. Buck always does a great job. Buck's Buck, you know. He's one of the greatest coaches in the history of baseball, greatest managers. We don't call them coaches unless they're in high school.
Yeah, they don't like
college.
To be called coaches.
No, they don't, because they got a lot of coaches working for them. But the thing of it is, you know, Bruce Bochy is one of my best friends from Little League.
Yeah.
Okay? Buck reminds me so much of Boch. They're just totally different size guys, you know. And I got to tell you, I love what he did with that team this year. It was. I really wanted them to go somewhere. They look like they're going to come out of the off season in pretty good shape. I think they're in pretty good shape right now. Are they gonna re-sign Cruz? Are they going to try to?
I thought so heading into the off season. Every off season when you have this ownership, you cross your fingers and hope everything works out for the best. But I thought heading into the offseason they'd re-sign Markakis and Cruz and let Miller go. Now I'm not so sure, but I guess it's a wait-and-see proposition. I'll tell you, your guy Bochy, he's got Braswin leaving Bumgarner in for the rest of that game. But he deserves it. He's got, three rings now, four World Series appearances.
You'll be heading to his induction ceremony a few years after he retires.
Yeah, he just went on an East Coast swing to visit relatives. As a matter of fact, he's in North Carolina right now. I tried to get him to come on. He's in the middle of breakfast right now. Listen, Kenny, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. When it comes to anything Baltimore, you're the guy. Kenny Wyman, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. Hey, good luck today, because I released the Ravens -6 today, and I really like them today. I think they could put it on San Diego a little bit.
No problem, anytime.
All right, buddy. Kenny Wyman, 105.7 The Fan. Hey, Matthew?
Yeah?
We didn't talk that much. You went to your cousins over Thanksgiving. Now, next week, we're not going to be on the show.
Correct.
I'll be on the show. I'm traveling to New York. I'm going to be hopefully doing one or two appearances while I'm up there. Hopefully going on a couple of sales calls and meet some of the sponsors of the show. But I will be in New York in Westchester County Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and look forward to seeing everybody up there.
And I'll be celebrating my daughter's 13th birthday.
Oh, happy birthday. And her name is Haley?
Haley.
Haley. Happy birthday, Haley. I get her mixed up with Roy's wife. We will see you next week on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.